The best trips don't just take you somewhere new. They change the way you see the world. On Wayfinder Life-Changing Travel, uncover the delights of every destination across city hideaways and crystal blue shores. Sponsored by Season 2 launch partner, Fiji Airways.
When it comes to a stopover, people don't recognize the value until they actually do it. So I wanted to see how stopping off in Fiji and doing my buffer there instead of going straight back to Sydney, how that shifted me into the mentality and got me ready for going back to real life. And, you know, the best cure for anxiety is feeling nurtured and calm and taken care of. And I think Fijian hospitality lends into that quite well. Fiji kind of wraps around you in a way that's warmer than everywhere else. I think it's because the culture grew up centered by community.
Listen to brand new episodes of Wayfinder Life-Changing Travel on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This weekend, there are actual premiership points on the line. Opening round is finally here. It's an Eastern Seaboard smorgasbord of football. And for the first time in the season soft launch, the AFL has thrown us a game in Melbourne as a little opening round treat. I'm Ed Burke. I'm joined for the third consecutive week by Lauren Wood and Josh Barnes. We're trying to get Josh out of the country, but unfortunately, for the moment, he's stuck here as he prepares to go and cover the Winter Paralympics.
Has there been any disruptions in travel plans around the world? I haven't really heard anything this week, any big news or anything.
There's a bit going on. We possibly don't have time to touch on that, Lauren.
That's right. We're doing our very best to keep a premiership team together. I think you don't break up a winning formula.
Back to back like all the great teams.
That's right.
We do need to start off on a bit of a sad note, because just as we were going in to record, we got the news out of Western Australia that the legendary sports commentator Dennis Cometti has passed away, age 76. A remarkable career, and our thoughts are with his family and his many, many friends that he's made along the journey in the sports industry. Just a tremendous broadcaster and, difficult news today.
It is. It is a little bit. I mean, he's a great football personality, as we know, and he's really been the soundtrack to so many incredible moments that we've enjoyed over the years. Was always so generous with his time in the press box as we were lining up for party pies, as most of the journos have become known to do. But this one really floored me.
Yeah, it was a real shock when the news came through this morning. I think probably for not just our generation, but generations past and beyond that, he's probably a voice of our lifetime, really. A voice of my childhood, playing all those video games that he was part of, and then obviously was always on the footy coverage. One of the greats, the best tonsils in the business, and certainly the best, my favourite commentator, and I think the best we've ever had.
Very accomplished footballer as well. He had a career for West Perth in the Waffle, played a few Footscray Reserves games, I think, when his work brought him over here to Melbourne. And then he went back and coached West Perth while he was mostly working in cricket commentary with the ABC. So incredibly rounded career. Have you got a favourite Dennis line, Lauren, a committism?
Oh, it's hard to pick one, isn't it? It's and it spans across different sports too. I know that the 4x100 metre relay at the Sydney Olympics stands out. Thorpe goes in right at the end with that famous duel with Gary Hall Jr.
They've got about 15 metres to swim. Thorpe is over Hall again. Hall and Thorpe. Thorpe's in front. Thorpe and Hall. Thorpe goes in. Australia win.
Klim is smoking behind the blocks.
That's right. It was an incredible incredible call from Dennis, and obviously an incredible win for Australia. So it was the perfect formula there. I'm going to struggle to get this one out, but always a favourite for me was Libba goes into the pack optimistically, comes out misty optically. Was a real standout for me. Just his ability to roll those off the tongue. And unfortunately for my team, it was a pretty dire moment, of course, that smother in the goal square. But he snuck up on him like a librarian is what famously gets shown on the clips. But it was almost what followed, the he never heard him. No surprise, everyone else in the library was shouting because it was just it erupted through the MCG. So he just had the words for every moment, didn't he, Barnsley? What's yours?
Yeah, I think Heeshaw probably owes him a lot of royalties. He got him a Toyota out of that. So where would he be without that line itself? One of my favourite comedians that got a good run on AFL 2004 was Adam Uze, a terrific young player, bad Scrabble hand. That was one of the better ones. I like this, not really a committeeism, but one of my favourite calls of his was just a small line, was the here comes Buddy when he wheeled around on the left foot in the pocket in the 2011 prelim. That was just such a quick one that he was able to throw in. And even umpire Kerr taking a mark, Kerr by name, Kerr by nature, I thought was a good one when you couldn't even plan any of that sort of stuff. No one can plan for an umpire taking a mark, but that was Dennis at his absolute best.
Favourite one of mine as a Hawthorne fan in that 2008 grand final. I got home, watched the replay after, and as Lance Franklin's loading up for a big goal from the 50-metre arc, he said he can light a fire under himself. And it was just goosebumps. moment for Hawks fans. It was inspirational. And yeah, his generosity, I don't know you get paid for the video games, but the amount of time he committed to saying every player's name, all those little lines that got used, you know, quite comedically sometimes in timings in the game. But a whole generation of kids have grown up hearing his voice in that video game as well as out on the actual field. So an incredible contribution. Now, thoughts with Dennis's family and friends. Now, opening round, 5 games this year. Looks like our Queensland games are going ahead at this stage, but there's a bit of weather about once again, Lauren.
Yeah, the unders on the points scored could be on there, responsibly, of course, but rain again. And I did see someone on X earlier suggest that this really is Mother Nature's way of telling us that footy is starting too early. It feels ridiculously early to be doing this, but unfortunately Southeast Queensland is facing a deluge again, of course 12 months on after Cyclone Alfred. I don't think we're quite in cyclone territory just yet. You've been across things yes. with the Bureau, but it's going to be heavy, no doubt.
Latest weather data I've pulled says that there's a 30% chance of the first tropical cyclone of the season forming off South Queensland this weekend, which is remarkable coincidence given what happened last year. And I'm told that the cyclone will either be called Narelle or Owen. I wasn't told that. It's fact.
Right.
Narelle could. There's one off WA that's brewing. And if that forms, it will be called Narelle and the Queensland one will be called Owen. But they both might not happen. So fingers crossed.
Whoever gets in first, obviously, yes. is that. I mean, if you're Andrew Dillon sitting in Sydney right now preparing to launch the season, you'd have to be wondering if you've smashed a mirror or walked under a ladder or killed a black cat somewhere along the line. Surely they couldn't be thinking, you know, what? This could not be happening again. As much as everyone says, just start the opening round of the season with all of the games around the country. You know, is someone somewhere trying to tell us that Queensland ain't it?
A reminder from Mother Nature that it's still maybe cricket season. Maybe we've just crept up a little early. Now, Sydney Carlton's the first game on Thursday night, and the teams for that will come out tonight. Michael Voss actually offered up a fair bit of news on Tuesday morning. He confirmed 2 debutants before he had to. So that's something that he was very close to his chest with selection last year, but he's locked in Jagger Smith and Harry Dean. We're also getting word that Campbell Chesser has been told he'll make his club debut as well, the West Coast recruit. So interesting teams there. And I just wanted to touch on Mark Murphy's comments on the ABC about Charlie Curnow and that the heat that he expects from Carlton players towards Curnow as he makes his Swans debut. Do we think that will be genuinely fierce?
I think potentially, but I don't think Charlie's much of a fighter, is he? I don't know if it's coming back the other way. It feels to me like one of those things where if you get a chance to run past him and give him one, maybe, but I'm not sure he's going to be buying into it too much. And being a full forward, he's not going to be in the play all that much. So I don't know, on a scale to genuine beat-ups to Luke Hodge kissing Buddy Franklin, where are we going to land, do you think?
Well, we might have a little bit of cheekiness. I quite like that. I think Charlie's interviews, particularly one that he did with Lachie McCurdy on Code Sports just a few weeks ago, that were really quite pointed about Carlton. I think a lot of that stuff didn't land all that nicely inside the four walls, as they say, of Icon Park. So I reckon there'll be a little bit of an edge to it, combined with the fact that in the AFL clearly haven't missed when it comes to scheduling. But I've been out at a few training sessions recently and talking to players just, you know, and club people around about whether they think it should be a whole round, whether they think opening rounds. Every player I have spoken to is absolutely fanging to get out there this weekend and wishes they were part of it. The ones that are playing just cannot wait to get out there and play the real stuff. And I reckon that adds another layer to it as well, is that they're already going to be so fizzed up just to be out there playing. You look across, Charlie Curnow's there in a Sydney jumper. I think it's all going to combine absolutely beautifully. The AFL, it's an interesting one because we know that conversation turned to with Ken Hinckley and Jack Ginnivan. You fixture this game, you want the entertainment, you want the theatre. But then are they going to, you know, dish out fines for anything that might happen, but then use it on the promos? Like, it's sort of this chicken and egg scenario, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, we've seen that they've potentially loosened up some of the gut punch rules, Josh, and that might be something that gets tested straight away this week.
Yeah, well, I think we're always in a vicious cycle with the gut punches. We crack down on them 1 year and then one person gets suspended and we think that's ridiculous, and then we loosen the laws and then 2 years later, we crack down on it again. We think it's unfair that people are getting gut punched. So I'll be interested to watch how it goes throughout the year, whether we will have that one case where it gets argued in the tribunal, it's an open palm or whatever it is, and then suddenly they get off and then the rules are sort of thrown out anyway. It's going to be very, very closely watched. There's always sort of a perpetrator. And opening round, as you said, Lauren, players are more fired up now than they sort of are when you get to round five, six, you're in the swing of things. So there will be a lot of energy out in the field, I think is the best way to put it. Mm.
The other selection news out of Sydney Carlton is the Swans coach Dean Cox has confirmed that Jai Sarong and Mal Roses will also make their club debuts alongside Charlie Kerner. So a new look Swans side there. Gold Coast Geelong is the next game on Friday night, and we've had Damien Hardwick this morning just maybe cooling slightly on a debut for Jamara Ugle-Hagan. Jed Walter was suspended, so there is a spot there in the forward line, but I think the feeling is that he might not be quite ready. He didn't rule out a debut, but he's just sort of poured cold water on the prospect a bit.
Well, they've obviously confirmed Zeke Yulin to make his debut, so they obviously weren't hesitant in getting some of the team news out there. Whether that is, you know, another little test for Jamara, I'm not too sure about whether they, you know, make him wait right until the very last minute for him to find out. I'm not too sure. But it is interesting, as you say, with Jed out, I think all of us assume with everything that we've been hearing out of Gold Coast all summer about how well Jamara's been doing and training. But we know Damien, like he's so experienced with this sort of thing, not only on the field but also between the ears, that you know, it could all be part of the master plan.
It'll be fascinating to see what unfolds there. And as always, the flow of information out of Geelong has been typically tightly held. There was a trio of fitness tests that we were aware of, Grian Myers, Bailey Smith and Jeremy Cameron. But now it seems that out of the three of them, the one who's actually in the most doubt is Patrick Dangerfield, who wasn't in the three, wasn't on the injury list on Tuesday night, but said last night that he's got a bit of a calf. Actually, Josh, for our viewers, can you just point out on the Patrick Dangerfield?
Well, he's joined us on the couch, funnily enough, Patrick, right here on the show.
I think we'd have to turn him around and point to the lower leg area. Is it right or left leg, do we know?
No, I don't think we've got that much clarity for the bloke who wasn't listed on the injury report.
Well, I was going to say, it can't be pre-round zero and we've already got an injury list controversy with Geelong. Like, it can't be, can it?
Well, it had to be
Geelong. What are we, March 4 today when we record this, and they've already screwed us around with the injury list?
It's cheeky, isn't it? I know there were clubs were staunchly reminded at the start of last season that there was to be more clarity on this sort of thing, not only for our super coaches, but everyone just likes to know what's going on. They had a 5 p.m. Tuesday deadline. Mm. I've gone to Geelong today, no response at time of filming, to just clarify why Patrick wasn't on that list at 5 o'clock, but he'll have a fitness test, for want of a better term. They're saying he's got to get through the session on Thursday. So tomorrow is the time we sit here and film as to whether he'll go. But you would think, wouldn't you, with a player, A, of his calibre, B, of his age, and that's not to be detrimental to Patrick at all, it's just reality. Mm. If it's a line ball call, you'd probably lean towards a no, right?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think Geelong would risk, even the flight up there is a bit of a risk. Yeah. I think the more time he can spend in Victoria this year, I think it's going to be better for Geelong in the long run. Obviously, he had that huge preliminary final to get Geelong into the grand final, but then didn't do a whole lot the week after. So you're going to have to measure out the efforts, which isn't easy on the field. Whenever he goes anywhere near the ball, it's 100% effort. So Geelong has to get in his way a little bit here, and I think a later start to the season makes so much sense for him and for the team, and particularly when Geelong don't like taking risks. Chris Scott again said this week he prefers not to risk any players who are injured. It has to be somewhat of a risk with Grian Myers, Bailey Smith and Jeremy Cameron all under clouds to play all of them and then Dangerfield as well. I don't think they really like that risk profile.
It seems at this stage like they're going to be paying for a few extra tickets on that flight up to the Gold Coast. Is he going to need to bring 27 or 28 players at this stage? Yeah, especially if they're
could be.
Jay Polkinghorne measuring himself out for a seat as we speak.
And a late change? Never. I would
you
never.
You couldn't tell me, Lauren.
I would
you
never.
Could not tell me.
GWS versus Hawthorn, the third game of the round. Now, Finn Callaghan might play for the Giants after having some hip flexor issues over the preseason. Initially, with the devastating injury to Tom Green about a month ago, it looked like the Giants were going to come in with a heavily undermanned midfield. But now it seems Hawthorn probably the ones who are a bit more under strength than there. Will Day is out. Cam McKenzie's out with concussion. They did get a reprieve, though, last night. Jai Newcombe got off at the tribunal. He had a 1 week ban ahead of him. Hawthorn challenged. Interesting argument made by the Hawks, which was successful in the end.
It was. It was interesting, wasn't it? I mean, the onus almost put back on Ed Richards, right? That maybe he should have dropped the ball to protect himself. Sorry, does not fly.
That victim blaming?
I don't know how it is. A little bit of victim blaming, isn't it? I mean, I think he was lucky in the fact clearly that Ed Richards played out the game. But we can't be having that, can we?
Is it right for the tackler to hold that threat over the player? Drop the ball or I'll slam you into the ground.
That's exactly right. I just think duty of care, onus on which player. I mean, you can use any kind of terminology that you want. But it cannot possibly be on Richards to have to drop the ball to protect himself with while he's got these other arm pin, can it?
No, it can't be. And like in here, if you're going down this tangent, you could have claimed that he tried to balance his fall with the ball or something like that. I think that's just all ridiculous. And I thought this was a good chance to. It's obviously sent a message that he got the 1 week offer in the first place, but I think it was a good way to send a message to these dangerous tackles that we're not going to let it fly this year. I think we often complain too much that it's based on the outcome. This was a situation without an outcome. Ed Richards was fine, but it was still a good opportunity to send a message to the league. As much as we would be disappointed to be missing a star player in opening round, it might have been the right thing. Charlie Common got away with one, I thought, with Brody Mychek a week before. Now, that was argued that Mychek got concussed in a separate incident that I don't think anybody's really seen. That was successfully done through the powers that be, and North Melbourne got away with that one. I think that's two opportunities the AFL has had to clamp down early on dangerous tackles, and both of them have slid past.
They're lucky, though, as you say, Ed, because you look at that midfield. I was out at Hawthorn training yesterday, and you know they're really solid down back. Obviously, Josh Battle, Tom Barras is going to be back after his back soreness kept him out of that second practice match. Their forward line is going pretty well against the Bulldogs. I know they were misfiring late, and the Bulldogs got the jump on them. But Mabi Ochoa was threatening. Dylan Moore's really strong. Mitch Lewis, they were all performing really strongly. Kel Shadier out of the side, which I think everyone would have had him playing in this game. But it is that midfield that's got the concerns around just how it's going to look. I mean, Josh Weddle's clearly going to spend more time in there. Josh Ward was at a few centre bounces in the first practice match. Connor McDonald, he's had a big preseason, and even Nick Watson in there at different times. So I think that's probably where we're going to see a little bit of tinkering against a GWS lineup that's pretty stacked.
Yeah, I think they'll keep the Giants guessing with those combinations. I've heard even Jarman Impey might go through the midfield as well. So Hawthorn with a lot of different options there to swing through. Aaron Cadman's going to miss out for the Giants. He's going to miss the first couple of weeks. They said in a release earlier this week that he has ongoing pelvic soreness, which is an odd one, one that we haven't heard in a while.
Yeah. Sort of a late pregnancy symptom more than anything else, speaking from experience. Those last few weeks, they're killer for the pelvic soreness, but it's always cagey, isn't it, for players when you hear terminology like that?
And one thing you never hear clubs talk about anymore is osteitis pubis, and they'll come up with all other sorts of ways to say that players' groins are a bit sore.
We don't even have to say it to put a chill through football departments, do you? All you've got to say is OP, and it's enough to sort of make the walls shake.
I think we need to destigmatise it a bit. It's a very common condition when you're training pre-season loads.
Yeah, well, even Jordan Ngoi had it hidden recently. They didn't say anything about OP when he was clearly battling with it and spoke about it with John Ralph recently. It was the dark disease for a while there, but clubs just don't want to say those words.
Brisbane's hosting the Western Bulldogs at the Gabba. Do we reckon the Bulldogs are feeling pretty fresh? There were three games in Ballarat last week. They didn't have to make any of the trips down there to play. They got to play a primetime home game at Witten Oval, and a few clubs have been on the phone to us trying to convey their disappointment in that arrangement.
Yeah, it's quite a point of conjecture, that one. Of course, the practice matches effectively being make-up games for the premiership points matches that the Bulldogs aren't able to play at that stadium while it's under construction. But no, the Bulldogs, they played at home, they slept in their own beds, they largely got through unscathed apart from Riley Sanders, of course, who was concussed and will miss the game against Brisbane. Tim English was absolutely firing in the ruck. So you'd have to say it was a big tick all round for Bevo's boys, while others were making the trip back from Ballarat, but it was after half a match and a training session for some as well on Friday afternoon in Melbourne and Richmond.
Yeah, it was a bizarre day. I was there in Ballarat for that game. We had a pause after about 2 minutes. I was actually on the phone to somebody at the back of the box when I came in. 2 minutes had been played. A goal had been kicked. Luca Kentfield was on his way to hospital and we were off the ground for lightning. So I didn't miss anything.
Better have been a good phone call. It helped
along the line with a story I was working on. But yeah, it was those days when you're trying to get onto somebody and they call you at the worst time and you can't get them off the phone, and then all hell had broken loose in Ballarat. We went off again in the second half for Lightning. The players started blasting the songs in the change rooms. Maxwell wanted to sing the song. ABBA was being played while Nathan Jones was trying to do a press conference in the Melbourne rooms. It was just all happening. And then they went out for a training session, both using the same oval. As Chris Newman said, it was like local footy style. A couple of times the ball got kicked to the other team and they had to sheepishly soccer it back to them.
Meanwhile, all whispering amongst themselves, where are the Western Bulldogs?
And while this was all happening, the Lightning did not stop at all for 3 hours during the day. The Lightning was still going as they were training, but they just decided to keep going through it. So if you can explain any of that to me, I'm still confused. Mystiopically, as I was driving away from
Ballarat. Well, I hope the people of Ballarat had a good time on the weekend with all those games. I was there Saturday and Sunday. Very entertaining. The Nasir Wanganeen-Millera game was incredible. And that takes us to St Kilda Collingwood. He could play out of the goal square against the Pies, and that would be incredibly entertaining. Someone who won't be matching up on them, though, is Darcy Moore. They ruled him out after sort of bringing him back on the table this week. Even at training today, our photographer Michael Klein was out there and said that Moore was training the house down, and he thinks, I wouldn't rule him out. But the fact the Pies have now in their injury list suggests that they're more comfortable with him returning in round one. But there were some real mind games going on there, and I really fell for it.
It's a big game. I mean, I did a Darcy Moore press conference at the Tennis, of all places, outside the Emirates marquee on about, I'm going to say, the 20th of January, where he was basically insinuating that, well, I guess people don't really have that much to talk about in January. My calf's fine. It's been a bit of a niggle. It's no worry. What are we now? 7 weeks down the track, and he's been ruled out of the biggest game of the weekend. No offence to the other in opening round, but we know it is all about the Northern States, but I think all eyes are on Sunday night. It's going to be a massive crowd, and obviously really interesting to see what the Saints do with their new look lineup. But no, I wouldn't rule it out from Craig McRae. It's going to be an interesting year for the Pies, and I think you've got to keep an ace up your sleeve every now and then to keep a jump on your opposition.
Would you rule out a superstar singer making a guest appearance? We saw someone enter town last week in a green hoodie that we couldn't recognise, but who's coming off a train. Is there any chance that there might be a ginger fella in the middle of the MCG before the game?
I'm going to go with no, but geez, it'd be good, wouldn't it?
There is a chance a ginger fella could end up in the middle of the MCG. At the moment, I'm rocking one of those arena access lanyards because I haven't got my new one yet. So that might let me on.
Maybe we'll stick you out there with the guitar. Put a hoodie on. Ed Sheeran.
But yeah, I do think I've been telling people with, given you train from Sydney to Melbourne, it's likely that he goes by bus from Melbourne to Adelaide, which wouldn't give him enough time.
When's the concert?
Get on the gun.
I think he's performing Monday night in Adelaide.
Okay.
So,
but you could do the G pre-game.
If the AFL is prepared to open their wallet, I'm sure they could get it done. But the fact that it hasn't been advertised yet makes me suspicious because they've got 20,000 tickets to sell.
Yeah, true.
I think he'd bring people in through the doors.
No, I'm going with no, but I'd be wrapped if it happened.
You can do the drive to Adelaide in 8 hours. I think it's a chance.
Some other selection news in Saints and Pies. Callum Wilkie's been ruled into the game. Great news for the Saints. The co-captain had a corked calf against Essendon on Saturday. He came out of the game at quarter time. The Saints said it was very unusual playing without him. He hasn't missed a match since his debut. He's hardly come to the bench since his debut. He's had a remarkably durable run. He'll be out there. Jack Silvani, we're not sure about yet, is still going through the concussion protocols, but they're pretty positive about his availability. And Joel Cochran might make a debut for Collingwood. He's a tall defender, kicked an enormous goal on Sunday against North Melbourne into the wind. He's a good chance to play given that Moore's out. Reece McInnes is still about 4 weeks away, and Jeremy Howe is out with a calf injury as well. We'll just have some quick fire tips going across the room. If you're ready, we did have to submit our tips at midday today for the start of the Herald Sun tipping competition.
Before the teams are out, I'd like it noted because people often like to deliver feedback on our tips. We have to do them early.
We don't have much information. I hang on to them as long as I can before the 12 p.m. deadline, which annoys the editors, but you want all the information you can get.
Then you get the 3 p.m. reminder email too, and you're never in the good books after that one.
That's trouble.
Sydney Carlton, I'm going with the Swans.
Swans.
Sydney.
Yes. Gold Coast Geelong. Suns for me.
Suns.
Have to go with the Gold Coast.
Consensus so far. GWS Hawthorn. Going with Hawthorn. I tipped against them in this matchup last year and I got found out, so Hawthorn.
I can't remember who I sent in for the Herald Sun tips only 2 hours ago, which probably says a lot about my memory. Hawthorn.
Capital letter Giants for me.
Ooh, there we go. Bit of difference. Lions and the Bulldogs. Brisbane for me.
Yep. Yeah, Lions.
Yep. Brisbane Vegas.
And St Kilda Collingwood. I reckon the Saints win this. If they're legitimate, they'll win by... They'll win by something. Collingwood could be very competitive, but there are more variables for them. I'm going with the Saints.
Yeah, I'm going with Saints.
Yeah, Team Shearer and the Saints. Pretty similar tips there. Disappointing. We need some bruising between each other. I have to work on
favorites
that for next
early.
Week.
Favorites early.
And now it's time for our final segment, Quick Hands. Now, Andrew Dillon wants Aussie rules at the Olympics in 2032. A few people understood this to be he wants Aussie rules to be a medal event at the Olympics.
He probably wants that.
Well, they're not the only ones to misinterpret the question, because I did a Josh Battle press conference yesterday at Hawthorn where my brain said Brisbane. My mouth said LA. So poor Josh Battle, I've effectively asked him the question of, you know, like obviously players would support this. You'd be part of the Olympics. You know, in LA, they're looking at doing an exhibition. And as it's coming out, I'm thinking, it's not LA, you idiot. and he obviously answered it very emphatically. Oh, geez, I'd love to go to LA. That'd be fantastic. I've heard nothing about it. Well, yes, of course you've heard nothing about it because it's not happening. No, I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's a great way of bringing 23 gold medals into our nation, injecting them into the economy if it was a medal event. It won't be, though. It'll be an exhibition game. Did you want to say that? Who would you want to be the flag bearer if an AFL player could be the first ever Aussie rules player to bear our national flag at the Olympics? Who would you want?
Well, I like this, given Josh's heading off to Milano Cortina in coming days. Mm. I'm going with Marcus Bontempelli because you want, not only do you want a really strong performer, but just an all-round stand-up guy. I think he'd be an awesome ambassador for the game and showing it off to the world.
Be a 36-year-old Olympian?
No, we're not thinking about it. It's not real. There's no logic applied here, Ed.
I mean, we wouldn't have to pick players in our prime to win gold. We could do a fan-voted side. So Bontempelli could make it in the twilight of his career. Who would you go, Josh?
I think the most reliable man in footy is Harris Andrews, and he could just reliably walk that flag around the stadium, I think. I think he could handle that.
Big enough to handle the...
Big levers, which is important to stand out. We've got all these other nations out there. He's keeping us above the pack. I think that's important. And he's always just there at the right time to deliver. He just comes out of nowhere with those big spoils, so I think he could cover some ground.
He wouldn't need two co-flag bearers alongside him to help bear the load?
No, he'd double fist it. He'd be fine.
And our last little tidbit that we noticed in the AFL captain survey that came out this week, some of the captains don't know the rising star rules and the AFL didn't do anything about it, so they just let them answer wrong.
Well, they just hung them out to dry, to be honest. It's an email that comes out every year with the captains anonymously picking who they're going to play in the grand final because they're not allowed to pick a premiership because they have to think themselves and all that sort of stuff. Two captains chose Sam Lawler to win the Rising Star Award when he's ineligible. He played too many games last year. Quick thoughts, Lauren. Who were they?
Well,
I know Toby Green doesn't read the rules. So
no, it could be him. But surely it's a bit like when someone mucks up a quote in your story. You've got to help a brother out. As you said, you've got to give them a little bit of assistance there. A bit likewise in the grand final entertainment category. I don't know if that's on your list today, Ed. An AFL captain nominated Creed as their preferred GF entertainment. So I'm desperate to know who that was, and I'll be on the case all year to find out.
I think Jai Newcombe will be banned from next year's Captain's Day. Just looking through some of the survey answers, Dylan Moore was nominated for the Brownlow Medal, one vote. Nick Watson was nominated for the Coleman Medal, one vote. One of the captains said that the matchup they were most looking forward to this season was North Melbourne versus West Coast.
Right.
Just screams Jai Newcombe to me. I think he's gone into his first Captain's Day.
He's taken pocket profile approach to the captain survey.
Yes, and he hasn't respected how sacred the captain survey is.
Maybe he's our Creed culprit. But rest assured, Ed, I will be following up and finding out who is the culprit.
It's a massive week coming up. We'll reveal the culprit next week on the Code AFL show. It's been great to have Lauren and Josh with us. Josh, you're going off to Milano Cortina. Good luck.
Short trip to Italy, so it'll be fine.
Safe extended travels.
Thank you.
Godspeed.
Yeah, safe travels. And you can catch Josh's Winter Paralympics coverage now, AFL coverage of opening round on the Code Sports and Herald Sun websites.
The best trips don't just take you somewhere new. They change the way you see the world. On Wayfinder Life-Changing Travel, uncover the delights of every destination across city hideaways and crystal blue shores. Sponsored by Season 2 launch partner, Fiji Airways.
When it comes to a stopover, people don't recognize the value until they actually do it. So I wanted to see how stopping off in Fiji and doing my buffer there instead of going straight back to Sydney, how that shifted me into the mentality and got me ready for going back to real life. And, you know, the best cure for anxiety is feeling nurtured and calm and taken care of. And I think Fijian hospitality lends into that quite well. Fiji kind of wraps around you in a way that's warmer than everywhere else. I think it's because the culture grew up centered by community.
Listen to brand new episodes of Wayfinder Life-Changing Travel on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now with McDonald's, wake up to a $4 breakfast meal deal. Wake up to a sausage McMuffin or a sausage biscuit, to hash browns, and wake up to a hot coffee. Get your $4 breakfast meal deal.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.